With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. Chief Medical Officer Dr. John Lee reports one positive for COVID-19 today in a traveler out of 379 tests carried out since our report on Thursday. There are no known cases of local transmission of COVID-19 in the Cayman Islands. And as of Monday, 87,711 COVID-19 vaccinations had been given in the islands. 72% of the estimated population had at least one dose of the vaccine. 61% completed the two-dose course. While a vaccine supply for clinics on Grand Cayman is currently exhausted, we are expecting our next shipment on the 16th of June. Vaccine clinics will resume on the 17th and will be offering second doses only through June 19th. First and second doses will be offered again starting June 21st. You can find the latest on the vaccination schedule at hsa.ky. The Health Services Authority acquisition of two next-generation sequencers is a major boost, providing health officials with a much-needed tool to identify various strains or variants of SARS-CoV-2. A group of charitable organizations helped make that acquisition possible.
Following discussions between ourselves and the representatives from the HSC, including Jonathan Smelly, we made a decision to fund two-thirds of the cost of the equipment and some initial reagents for the equipment with the support of a donation from the Caring for Life Foundation and a matching donation from the Kenneth B. Dart Foundation. And the rest was funded by a donation from an anonymous donor.
Brian Hunter, chairman of R3 Foundation, says the acquisition of this equipment helps with R3's overall goal of readiness to assist the Cayman Islands to prepare for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters. To learn more about R3, you can check out their website at r3foundation.ky or email info@r3foundation.ky. It is a holiday weekend, and the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service wants to remind the public that officers will be making frequent checks at bars and clubs across the island with the aim of preventing violent crime and curbing potential public order issues. Proprietors of liquor-licensed establishments are being asked to pay attention to what their licenses allow them to do on each day, specifically their opening and closing times, as well as when music and dancing is allowed. The chairman of the Liquor Licensing Board says they're encouraging all owners to ensure their businesses are compliant with the Liquor Licensing Act to avoid any penalties, including the non-renewal of licenses for businesses who have multiple breaches. A person who commits an offense under the Liquor Licensing Act is liable on summary conviction of a fine of $1,000 and imprisonment for a year, and on second or subsequent conviction to a fine of $2,000 and imprisonment for 2 years. The islands are developing at what appears to be a rapid pace. NCB Managing Director Matthew White says a strategic approach to development is critical for the islands. Radio Cayman's Dion Anglin has more.
The NCB Group is a prominent Caymanian residential and commercial developer. Managing Director Matthew White says he believes you can strike a balance between environment, infrastructure, and development.
I think holistically, if you look at having a united development plan, it would allow us to really focus on protecting the areas that we could do so and allow develop to thrive in areas that we choose to allow that to happen.
Mr. White says the country as a whole has to consider its future. A key part of that is what housing looks like for all sectors of the population, not just the higher ends of the market. He tells Radio Cayman a strong development plan can lead to solutions that are a win-win.
We could look at areas where we increase density, and then as a compromise, we could look at certain areas such as our central wetlands where we offer protection. You know, there should be a mechanism in which development contributes to a fund that protects certain areas that we deem valuable, whether it's our certain beaches, public spaces, or our centralized wetlands.
While the NCB Group is in the development business, which by nature it seeks growth, Mr. White says more clarity in terms of the plan for the country more clearly defines what can and can't be done.
I agree that there needs to be a balance. I'm not saying it's development everywhere and every place, but a development plan would help define that, and I think that there's particular areas such as our wet centralized mangrove wetlands, our public spaces, beaches and stuff that we could add more to by protecting, and that's not really in place at the moment. So every project is being assessed in isolation, and the concern is that if everything gets built out, what happens? So I think we need to start painting that picture as there needs to be a balance, and we need to come up with a plan to have that balance.
Because without balance, we may pass the point of no return. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
Technology can positively impact financial services as well as the delivery of social services to the less fortunate. That was the message from the country's new Minister for Financial Services and Commerce.
Technology is a great platform to raise all in society. And government's vision includes using these advances to create a more efficient government.
The Honorable Andre Ebank shared this vision at the recent Cayman Islands Digital Economy Conference, updating the 150 virtual attendees on Cayman's progress in regulating virtual asset service providers, a technology-based sector. He tells Radio Cayman government welcomes technological innovations and hopes to see digital advances tested and approved in the VASP regime, ultimately helping stimulate the country's economy. Minister Ebanks has also discussed technological efficiency in social services with his cabinet colleagues.
We're considering digitizing social services applications and benefits distributions. This can lead to better use of public funds by getting benefits to those who need them quickly and efficiently.
In addition to Minister Ebanks' remarks, Director of E-Government Ian Tibbetts gave an overview of Cayman's proposed national digital ID program. Celebrations in honor of the Queen's birthday are heading to Government House Monday. His Excellency the Governor, Martin Roper.
I hope members of the public will come out and enjoy the celebrations as we express our collective wishes for Her Majesty's continued good health and longevity on her official birthday.
Chief of Protocol Melanie Sims tells Radio Cayman the Cayman Islands Regiment and the Cayman Islands Coast Guard will march amongst the approximately 200 senior uniformed and youth services organizations for the annual parade on June 14th at 4 p.m.
Although Her Majesty the Queen was born on the 21st of April, it has long been the tradition to celebrate the sovereign's official birthday in the summer.
Honors and awards will be given to those recognized at either the previous year's parade or announced in the Queen's New Year's honors. This year's recipients include Charles Clifford and Pastor Randy Von Cannell. Today, Radio Cayman's Felicia Rankin-Solins talked to the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service about how they prepare for the event.
11 contingents are taking part in the upcoming Queen's Parade. The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service is one of them. Acting Inspector Roger Williams reveals how they strive for perfection.
As part of the preparations, we have what we call parade practices leading up to the grand rehearsal, which was already held on the 6th of June down at West Bay Road in front of the governor's residence. So as part of the preparations, we conduct several drill practices, which we ensure that all our drill movements are practiced, rehearsed, and good for the actual parade day.
Importance is placed on all contingents working as a cohesive unit.
And then we ensure that we finalize all the details. So what we've done just yesterday, we've had one last meeting and briefing with all of the contingents, all of the members of the protocol department and other stakeholders in the preparation, and we've ensured that we've ironed out any discussion points and so forth for the Queen's birthday parade.
Contingencies are in place for the safety of all in attendance.
We have always ensured that the area around the parade has requisite resources in terms of police officers to ensure that the safety of all the heads of government and other delegates. That this year will be no different, irrespective of the change location. We will also have private partners as assigned to assist with the medical side of things to ensure that if should there be any medical emergencies as well, that we have a full coverage from that perspective.
The event is expected to last 1 hour. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Felicia Rankin-Solins.
The general public is invited to attend the procession and awards and then stay on to enjoy a garden party reception on the grounds of the governor's house from 5 to 7 p.m. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, the garden party reception is limited to 500 people and the parade is limited to 1,000 people, including participants. That is your latest local news from Radio Cayman's newsroom. I'm April Cummings.